welcome into The Jump. We're back in our studio. Very exciting. Today I'm joined by seven-time champ Robert Ori. I love when you're here during title celebration time because you could be like, I did that, I did that. Oh, the other time I didn't do that. But then the next time I did that. And oh, did I tell you about the 18th time I did that?
So basically, I just said, been there, done that.
Been there, done that, perk. And you can say the same thing too. Kendrick Porkins joining us from Houston. He's got his own NBA ring. Zach Lowe is going to stop by later as well. But first, it's over. One of the strangest, most exhausting, most innovative seasons in NBA history has finally ended. And as the Bucks celebrate their win on the streets of Milwaukee today, it's worth remembering exactly how we got here. Honestly, so much has happened, it's almost hard to wrap your mind about what a different world it was when this season started. When training camps opened, America had no COVID vaccine. A different president was still occupying the White House. Some sports leagues were still operating in bubbles. Others, like the NHL, were restructuring the entire way they functioned. So certain teams spent the season only playing each other. The NBA could have gone that route, too. Instead, it chose a more ambitious, more grueling path that required franchise to do more juggling than Red Panda on her unicycle. Starting just before Christmas, teams began crisscrossing the country, playing in nearly empty arenas, trying to keep coronavirus at bay with a rule book that felt longer than a Russian novel. Even the smallest traditions were disrupted. Like, usually teams that play on the road on Christmas Day organize a big team dinner for Christmas Eve. Instead, this season, when, say, the Mavericks came here to LA to play the Lakers, the most they were allowed to do was hand out flimsy cardboard boxes of food for players to take back to their rooms and eat by themselves. It was sad. Even with all of that, the pandemic still intruded. Positive tests led to quarantines, which led to games being postponed, which led to even more testing and rules for players. Remember when guys were first told they could no longer have guests on the road? Yeah, that went over well. Or that they couldn't shake hands or hug their opponents post-game, despite having just breathed and sweat all over each other for 48 minutes. Players had to get Q-tips shoved up their noses three times a day, sometimes a process that would often require them to be at the practice facility, I don't know, at 6 a.m., getting back from a road trip at 2 a.m. the night before. Games started vanishing from the schedule. At one point, the Wizards had six players test positive, forcing the team into a 13-day mid-season layoff. And yet the NBA soldiered on, reinventing itself as it went. We had new camera angles on TV broadcasts, a new all-star game format. The play-in tournament from the bubble was revived and tweaked, turning what is usually a sleepy final month of the regular season into an all-out sprint. And then the playoffs, which were their own kind of race, with the league trying to crown a champion under the wire before the Olympics started. With a vaccine now widely available, crowds returned. I was in Phoenix for their playoff opener against LA, and there was a point you could actually feel the building shake. Everyone there just so grateful for the chance to yell and scream and just be together, finally. We saw some insane performances, by the way. Kevin Durant finishing the Nets postseason run by playing 141 of 149 available minutes over the team's final three games. We also saw some devastating injuries. 10 All-Stars missed time this postseason due to injury, and that doesn't even count stars like Trae Young or Jamal Murray. And then finally, an exceptional finals between two remarkably even-matched teams with particularly joyous fan bases capped off by a legacy-shifting performance from a two-time MVP. The finals felt almost normal enough you could forget what a winding path it took to get there. Except then you look at the calendar and realize we are, yes, still in bizarro world. It is July 22nd today, people, and we're watching a championship parade. Training camps for next season start just 2 months from now. The draft and free agency are in the next 2 weeks. But before we get there, it's worth marking what we just finished. A season with some hardships we would like to forget, but an overall accomplishment we should always remember. And Robert, I want to know, now that you have lived through both, right? Dealing with the bubble and then this season, what do you think is a tougher path to the title? The guys who lived in a bubble for a few months or had to go through what I just described this season as?
Well, first of all, just getting the title in itself is hard. So I think when you look at the overall seasons and compare them, the bubble season was much harder.
Yeah.
Because you had to get away from the things you were familiar with and comfortable with. Think about it. These guys have chefs now. Mm-hmm. They have masseuse. They have guys who train and stretch and get them ready for the next game. All that was out the window. So that comfort zone that they was used to doing is not there. Now with this season here and everything starting to come back to somewhat of normality, it was a little bit, I won't say easier, a little bit easier, but they can get their chefs. They could be at home in their beds, because that was the biggest thing to me. When I went on the road, I hate being in a hotel bed. You know, you get a bad bed, your back gonna hurt the next day, you're not comfortable, you can't sleep well. So now you're at home in your bed, you're comfortable, and you have that whole thing that you're familiar with. You can drive to the arena, listen to your music. So I think the bubble was harder than this past championship, but they all are hard.
Yes. Amen. Perk?
Well, Rachel, it didn't stop Big Shot Rob from knocking down shots on the road. I tell you
those
that much. But look,
here's the thing.
I don't want to take anything away from the Milwaukee Bucks and what they done this season. It was an incredible run, a championship in 50 years. But I'm going with Big Shot Rob on this one. When you think about the circumstances of going down to the bubble, the stoppage of play, and having that during the pandemic, and going down having to decide, right? Think about this. During the playoffs, right? The start of the playoffs, they had another stoppage where the NBA decided, the players decided to boycott. There was so many things that were going on down there through the bubble doing with social justice and everything else. And then again, listen, not having fans there, right? I keep telling people, fans help you win games. You don't think in game 6 of this year's finals, Giannis didn't feel the energy of that fans, those 65,000 fans that were outside of the arena, those 20,000 fans that were inside the arena. When you have to go out there and just play basketball without having that fan base, your mental has to be on a different type of level. And that's why I'm going to go with the Lakers championship of last year over this year, Milwaukee's Bucks championship of this year.
And to Robert's point, it doesn't mean that just because it might have been slightly easier, it was easy. This was not easy. You just heard me describe everything these teams had to go through. And I think winning this title, the Bucks did this year, will be not as, I don't know how to express, easy. Next year's champion will be easier, but still not easy, than this year. Is that polite enough for everyone? Have I said it all the right way that no one's going to get insulted? I just think that it's one of those things. There's no asterisks, people. I'm not talking about that. But it is interesting to compare. I mean, one of the weirdness things of the bubble was just that these guys would play these hard-fought playoff games where, you know, y'all don't like each other very much. And then they go back to the same hotel and get into the same elevators together to go upstairs to their rooms. Hopefully we never have to see anything like that strangeness again. I like it when teams are just good and competitive and don't even interact with each other during the playoffs.
That's
and we
the
get
best.
The kind of stuff that we saw in this finals. Now I'm about to get into betting lines. First of all, I wish that Caesars William Hill had done a prop bet on how much champagne PJ Tucker was going to drink at the parade today, because the over would have been what you would have taken for that. We'll get to that in a little bit. These though are Caesars William Hill's their odds for the next season. Who will win the title? The Brooklyn Nets favored to win it. Lakers, Bucks, Warriors, Suns, and Jazz rounding out the top favorites. Perk, do you buy the Nets as the title favorites next season? Not the Bucks, the guys who just won it.
Well, no, I don't. And here's why, Rachel. I think that the East is going to get harder. I think the East is going to get more competitive, right? We're looking at the Milwaukee Bucks. They just went through the battle of winning the championship, and they're still bringing back their core three, Jrue Holiday, Giannis, and Chris Middleton. They're going to add pieces if they need to add pieces, but they already know what it takes to win a championship. So now that they're battle-tested, it's going to be even harder. And then we know teams in the Eastern Conference like Philly and Boston are going to get better. Atlanta's going to get better. Now, when we look at the Western Conference, the West is wide open, right? Kawhi Leonard, he may not come back this season. We don't know what to expect out of the Utah Jazz per usual. But when we look at the Los Angeles Lakers, a healthy LeBron James, a healthy Anthony Davis, and Lord knows if they get CP3 or Russell Westbrook, even without those two, I'm still picking LeBron James and Anthony Davis healthy. I'm going with the Lakers.
Well, you know, Perk, I'm just going to say this. Big toe, man. Big toe. That means that's how close the Nets were from going to the finals. A big toe. So I'm going to take the Nets. I'm going to take this bet, because when you have KD, probably the best player in this game. I know he's just watched the performance by Giannis and what he did, but KD is one of those type of generation players that you got to look out for. And then you're going to add Kyrie. He's going to be there. Then you got James Harden, who's thirsty. He's thirsty for a championship. These other two got theirs. But we all know the only reason James probably got hurt this season is because he didn't come into the season healthy. So I'm looking at this New Jersey Nets team as a team to look out for. You know, if they get Dinwiddie to come back and they get some other guys, oh, man, they're going to be hard to stop.
It does my heart good, by the way, that you said New Jersey Nets, just because for those of us who are old people, and like Kendrick, you and myself, who spent so many nights at that arena in New Jersey, it just was a nice little flashback. Kendrick, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Nets fan, Brooklyn.
Rachel and Rob, this is the big question mark. I want to know, is James Harden going to come into training camp healthy? I want to know, is he going to change his mindset? Because this was a guy that was supposed to go be in the Olympics on Team USA with Kevin Durant, but withdrawn. And then we see him on tour with Lil Baby. So is he really going to change his habits?
Perk,
that's the question mark.
He hurt himself during the playoffs. He couldn't play during the playoffs. As you guys always tell me, there's a big difference between playing basketball versus just doing activities out in the world, like, I don't know, hanging around Lil Baby and going on stage with him. I'm not sure you can compare the two things. There's other, I mean, Steph Curry didn't play on the Olympic team this year because he was worried about re-injury.
No, but this is what I'm saying, Rachel, right? You have to control and adjust what you're doing outside of basketball. That has a lot to do with how you're going to produce for the long haul, right? You have to worry about the long haul. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So what you do in the offseason to prepare is starting your routine going into the season. How are you going to eat? Your diet? Are you going to sacrifice certain things? Are you going to sacrifice certain bad habits that you're accustomed to having, to sacrifice those moments to make sure that you go into this season prepared the most that you ever
Perk,
been?
Perk, I don't want to say this. Think about James. He's been healthy throughout his whole career. Mm-hmm. This is the first time ever he's been injured. And I think that had a lot to do with him being unhappy in Houston. You know, this is one thing we can always say about James Harden. When he gets in the season, he's durable. Yep. And I think this season was one of those odd seasons, not just for him, the whole NBA crew. But I think he's going to be ready, because once you play alongside KD and Kyrie, they're going to force you to be good. I'm sorry, to be great. And we already know he is a great player, and I'm looking out for him to do special things this season.
And you're right. He's had these little nagging injuries from time to time, but he has been an Iron Man. There is no question.
And you don't have to do all the work now.
Health is the question, though, with all of the Nets. And look, with KD's foot, as Robert made the point in that second round series, if it had been just a little bit further back from the 3-point line, that would have been a game winner, and they are the ones who would have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, a story came out right after that game that Kevin Durant had said in previous years that he likes to wear a size bigger shoe than he needs because it's a little more comfortable to run around the court. So now people are measuring what shoe size Kevin should wear next season. I don't know if that was factored into the Caesars William Hill odds. We'll have to find out. Class of 2023 high school phenom Mikey Williams getting in on the name, image, and likeness action. Williams is 17. He's signed a deal with XL Sports that has the potential to, quote, generate millions of dollars for this young man. So still has nearly 2 years to decide on whether he's going to go to college basketball or a pro pathway. Perk, as a member and alumnus of Cash University, are you happy to see these young men get paid?
I am Rachel, and look, I had the privilege of watching Mikey Williams play, going to his game. The line is wrapped around the corner. I haven't seen this much publicity around a young high school guy since LeBron James. When you look at the age group of AAU basketball from 9 to 15, they're not admiring LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. They admire Mikey Williams. This kid is a gold mine.
Yeah, this kid is something special, man. And I came to on noticing him, and my son was like, yo, you got to go check this kid. I'm like, wow, this kid can play. I'm so happy that they can make money now off their name, because YouTube is making everybody, you know, billionaires, millionaires. So keep making that money, young fella.
Robert did, during the commercial break, ask whether anyone had a time machine laying around for when he was in high school, could have collected some of this cash as well, but we haven't found one.
I'm going to college, man.
I know, right?
College. I can make some money in college.
Oh, man. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, Robert Ori, Kendrick Perkins still with us. And now joining us, our senior writer, host of the Low Post podcast, Mr. Zach Lowe. And that's champagne. I just have to, first of all, shout out our Rise folks, because that was so good. I would say that of the couple dozen locker rooms I've been in, lucky enough to be in the champagne celebrations, the 2006 Heat was the one where I could barely breathe because there was so much champagne in the air. But Robert, of your seven titles, was there a good champagne one?
All of them. But the one thing, we never wore goggles, though. And I'll tell you that. Real men don't wear goggles in the champagne room. You don't do that, man. You celebrate. You accept that burn, man.
Time out. We're not talking about the champagne room. That is an entirely different discussion that is not appropriate for television. You're talking about the locker room filled with champagne.
That's what I'm saying. Locker room filled with champagne.
Thank you. Just a little tiny point of clarification. That's an After Dark show. Anyway, let's talk a little bit. You saw the video rolling just now because I took a little detour from the control room. Sorry, Director Kathy. Giannis, let's talk about him. He is fresh, of course, off of Finals MVP. He has won two of the last three regular season MVPs as well. So, Zach Lowe, where is Giannis in that best player in the league conversation, especially after this magical run? And I want to clarify, I'm not making you pick a number one. Who is your best player in the league right now? I just mean, has the finals and what he has accomplished here shifted to you what group he is in, where he is in that sort of league status?
Now, he was already in this group, but this reminds me a lot of 2 years ago when we had this same discussion, except it was about Kawhi Leonard. And a year after that, a certain someone stood with you on the court and said he wanted his damn respect.
Yes.
Okay? Don't forget about LeBron James, who was maybe on track to win the MVP before his high ankle sprain, and still, to this day, if I need to win one playoff game for all the marbles, I'm picking him first. And I'm probably picking Kevin Durant second, who Giannis, by the way, like a month ago, called the best player in the league. But really, it doesn't even matter. All of these guys are incredible. They're all going into the Hall of Fame. They're all going to go down as top 15 players of all time. Ben, Giannis is absolutely in that discussion and was in that discussion. But now there's no more argument. There's no more, well, he doesn't do this. Well, he doesn't have a bag. Well, he doesn't have a... No. That's it. That's over. He's in the pantheon with those guys.
Look at Zach Lowe up there talking about he doesn't have a bag, because you be getting in your bag at LA Fitness. I know, Zach, but we'll talk about that later, right? But listen, here it is. Look, at this point, I don't think LeBron James even care about being the best player in the world. The man is going on 37 years old, year 19. It's about time somebody take the throne from him. And who's that guy? No disrespect to Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's Kevin Durant. And Giannis witnessed that firsthand when they matched up in the playoffs. And Kevin Durant dropped average 37, putting on some of the greatest performances in playoff history. Kevin Durant led the league in playoffs, averaging 34 points, shooting 50-40-90 in the playoffs. Ooh. He's the most efficient scorer. But you know what it showed me about Kevin Durant? I think he notched a triple-double or was close to it in that series. The thing about it was that when James Harden was only 25%, Kyrie Irving went down, Kevin Durant elevated his game even more. We already know that he could get buckets, but he showed us that he could get the assists and make plays for others. He showed us that he's not afraid to go down there in the paint, in the trenches, and rebound with the best of them. So when I'm talking in today's game, going into next season, right now, Kevin Durant is the best player on the planet.
You know, the thing about LeBron is always going to be that top five player of all time. You know, he's that guy that, like you said, Zach, you want to go to down the stretch at the end of the game. But, Perk, you're right. This guy is coming up. The torch has been passed to KD. He's on a whole nother level. Giannis is right there. He's going to be there. But the only thing that keeps Giannis out, when you go down the stretch, you know, you're going to foul Giannis, and Giannis is going to go to the free throw line. You're going to hold your breath. If KD goes to the free throw line, you're going to say bucket. And that's the thing that separates these guys. People in this league, they all want to look at NBA players and say, oh, this guy's the greatest, this guy's the greatest. When I break it down, I look at what are these players' defaults, because they're so great. What will make them come down and be mortal? And if you put Giannis on the free throw line, he becomes mortal. But the rest of these guys are going to be immortal and great, and they're basketball guys, as we like to say, and that's why KD right now is the best hooper in the game.
All right, I'm just going to say one thing about Giannis' free throws. Michael Schwartz, our researcher, is actually in the studio with us today. I'm very excited. Am I right, Michael? 17 of 19 in the final game of the finals? Thank you. 17 of 19 in the final game of the finals at the free throw line.
I know a guy that did that once before named Shaquille O'Neal, but he still couldn't shoot free throws.
I'm going to let you take that up with your former teammate yourself. I am not getting in the middle of that one. I do think that Giannis has moved into a different echelon with these finals. I just do. I think that if we were having this conversation before the playoffs, where those bad playoff exits were sort of the bad taste in people's mouth, right? And there were people even questioning, did he deserve his MVPs? He wasn't in the top three in voting in the MVP for this year. There was a lot of people, a lot of voters who felt like, prove it to me, prove it to me. Well, he went out and proved it. He is the reason they won those NBA finals. It's the reason I voted for him for finals MVP this year, and it was unanimous because he is the guy. And this whole, oh, he can't close, he can't power a team, all of that, as Zach just said, is out the window. So the idea that he is now in that Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard baby conversation, that's a conversation
Steph
we were
Curry.
Not putting him in. Steph Curry, so amen. True. Thank you, Steph Curry. That's not a conversation that we were putting him in. No, I mean, seriously, we weren't putting him in that conversation the day before this year's NBA playoffs. And I think there is no question that we are putting him in there now. And by the way, maybe we should have been. What? We voted him MVP twice, and I did that. That was me and Zach. We both voted him MVP twice. But it's not. His name was not on people's lips going into these playoffs, Perk, right?
Well, Rachel, look, but that's not any knock on anybody. He hadn't earned that, right? And we watched it over the past two seasons in the postseason when he didn't step up to the plate. So we were all waiting and wanted to witness him finally elevate his game and take it into his hands like he did this season. Now we're giving him his credit when the credit is due. We didn't give LeBron James his props until he won the championship. We didn't give Kevin Durant his real full credit until he actually finished the mission of winning the championship. That goes with Giannis.
No, we're agreeing, Perk. Yeah. I agree with you. This is my point.
He has earned it.
Yeah, he has earned it now, and now he has moved because I think he needed to prove it, and he proved it, and he's proved it resoundingly.
Yeah, every NBA player is judged by what they do in the playoffs, and with those early exes that Giannis had, you know, they're going to say Bud, they won't say the players. It's everybody in the organization earlier. And when you're the MVP, you're going to take a brunt of that blow.
All right. Well, speaking of Bud, let's talk about Mike Budenholzer. Reportedly on the hot seat earlier in these playoffs. Now he is a champion. So, Robert, take that to its next point. Do you think that the Bucks should reward Coach Bud with an extension?
You know, I think they shouldn't because the jury's still out on his coaching because you think about what happened in this series. We talked about it earlier, big toe away from going to the finals. So I think right now we still need to sit back and wait. You know, I played with Bud when I was with the Spurs, and I know who he is. I know he's a competitor, and I know he likes to win, but I still want to sit back and wait because, you know, that path that they had was a hard path, but it was a path of least resistance. So I got to wait because he still hasn't showed me enough to say he's going to get this extension.
Oof. What do you think, Zach?
I've called Bud stubborn. I've called him doctrinaire. I've been on the bandwagon of Bud doesn't make enough adjustments. Bud's late to the game. All of it. The whole point is to win. They just won the championship. He did make adjustments. The Bucks have gradually changed the way they've played on both ends of the floor in meaningful ways. You can't win the title and have somebody go in on the hot seat as a potential lame duck. Winning, everybody should get rewarded. Everybody. So I say, yeah, the criticism's been fair. There's stuff to work on. Reward the guy with an extension. If you want to fire him in a year or two, you're all billionaires. Just pay the contract out anyway, but reward the guy for winning.
It's easy
winning
when you spend someone else's money.
Winning is the whole point, and they did it. I'll spend billionaires' money. Give me some money. Let's spend it everywhere.
Here it is. Listening to Giannis' post-game interview, right, you hear him endorsing and embracing Budenholzer. That means your franchise guy, the face of your franchise, your two-time MVP, loves his head coach. And I'm with Big Shot Rob a little bit and with Zach Lowe. I'm caught in between because, rightfully so, look, but the Milwaukee Bucks was just more, they just had more talent, more athleticism. They were older than this Phoenix Suns team. And I'm not taking anything away from Bud, because I thought in that series he made a huge adjustment, two huge adjustments. He put Drew Holiday on Chris Paul, then switched Drew Holiday back onto Devin Booker in game six. That's coaching. And then he moved Giannis to the five position where he dominated so well, had him rolling to the basket, not being the ball handler up top, demanding that he go on the low block. So if I'm the front office of the Milwaukee Bucks, I would actually give him a short-term extension and not a long-term extension.
Well, we'll see what they will do. Perk, thank you so much for joining us. You have been marathon man through these NBA finals. I'm so grateful you could dock in with us today. Zach and Robert are going to stay with us as well. All right, so in response to some Team USA practice footage, KD tweeted, "Dog see me knock down the corner three and proceeds to work on his ball handling with the ball I green beaned with. He's got to learn some respect, Bam, one of one." Bam replied, "Stop lying, KD. You saw Dame take your rock. You just tried to little bro me." KD later tweeted a screenshot of Drake's song, "Can't Take a Joke." Robert, are these guys just joking with each other? I mean, these are Team USA Olympic teammates. They are together all the time right now.
I think they're joking around. I think KD is, you're going to see the lighter side of KD. Now he's going to be playing a bunch of different guys other than his teammates. And we've seen some of the things that have gone on in the media with KD. I think he's trying to, you know, open up and be a lighter KD. So I'm thinking, I'm going with the joking side. So I think both of them are joking.
All right, Zach.
It's got to be a joke. But first of all, KD's right. He's the big brother on the team. If he wants the ball, give him the ball. It's Kevin Durant. We just did a whole segment about how Kevin Durant was the best player in the NBA, possibly. Give Kevin Durant the ball.
Go block a shot, right?
Also, they were on the video discussing if the balls were different sizes or weights. I think from the video, it looked like it was just all the international ball that is being used in the Olympics, which would make sense, but who knows? Merriment at Team USA. We're going to go with joking. Let's talk about the champs from last season, the Lakers. Our Mark Spears of The Undefeated says the sources have told him that the Lakers have been on the hunt for a veteran point guard and that Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook are on the list. Well, let's look how possible that is. Here's the Lakers' financial situation. Their top four players will make more than $100 million. They do have at least 10 free agents. The Lakers can offer the $9.5 million mid-level exception if they don't bring back their own free agents, and their next available first round pick to trade is not until 2027, which is not soon, but sadly not as far away as one might think. Zach, what is a realistic way for the Lakers to upgrade at point guard and transform this roster a little bit?
It's going to cost you your depth. It's going to cost you Kyle Kuzma, maybe Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for salary reasons if we're talking some of the big names. And it might cost you signing and trading Dennis Schroeder. And the whole point of getting Dennis Schroeder was to do exactly what we're talking about. Give LeBron James someone else who could run the offense. And Dennis Schroeder just did not shoot it well enough. 33% from three in the regular season, even worse in the playoffs. The ideal point guard for LeBron James is someone who can run some of the offense. But I think even more importantly, if LeBron's going to have the ball a lot and AD's going to have the ball a lot, space the floor, and that's what Dennis Schroeder could not do for them. And the ideal guy is going to be a combination of all those skills, but shooting has to be a big part of it. Good luck to them trying to find that player with the trade assets they have. It's possible, it's just going to be tough. And you know the Lakers are going to try to hang on to Talen Horton Tucker, and that every team that they're dealing with is going to look at him as the guy they want most of all. So that will be an interesting little tug of war.
Yeah, the funny thing about that is THT is one of those guys that's up and coming. So right. The Lakers are going to try to hold on to him as much as possible. But it's going to be hard because of that salary cap for them to get a veteran guard. You talk about CP3. I don't think he's going to give up all that money to go to the Lakers. And you talk about Westbrook. It's too much money. You got to think about it. The Lakers aren't going to do that. If you're going to look for a guard, you got to go with someone like Kyle Lowry. I know they didn't get him in the trade, but maybe you can sweet talk him and say, "Yo, man, we can give you whatever we can. Come play for us. Let's win a championship. You know, you only got one, dog. You know, one ring don't really count in NBA. You got to get two or more. So come play with us with the Lakers." Even if you can't get him, Gordon Dragic. There's so many guards out there that I think you get. But for me, right now. You need a guy like Kyle Lowry, a dog that's mentally tough, that's going to say, LeBron, get off the ball. I got the ball. And I'm going to bring it down. I'm going to get everybody in a set, and we're going to run this thing and win a championship. So Kyle Lowry is the only guy that I see, or Dragic. Those are top two for me if they're going to get anybody.
Well, Robert, you know I was singing the Kyle Lowry chorus at the trade deadline and really had wanted the Lakers to do what they needed to do to make that deal, because I thought that it would be insurance for what actually happened, which was Anthony Davis gets hurt, which was a big part of why the Lakers playoff run fell apart. If you had had a steadying presence like Kyle, someone who'd been there before, who is, as you say, a dog and who can shoot,
yes,
that might have helped them get through maybe an early round or two. Of course, the Suns proved they're a pretty tough opponent as well, so we'll never know for sure. I know that Kyle Lowry is looking for big money this offseason.
Last contract.
But, Zach, we've seen Kyle looking for big money before. There was a time, was it the last time he was a free agent? You can correct me here. He thought there might be the point guard market basically dried up right before he hit it, and it turned out that the Raptors were able to get him for a little less money than they thought they had to. Some of the issues here, Zach, also with a trade, I want you to sort of suss out for me. The names you mentioned, guys who could go in to sign and trade if the Lakers had to match salary, are those names that a team that has, say, Chris Paul wants to take back for Chris Paul? I mean, isn't that going to be kind of the problem if the Lakers feel that they're not good enough to play on their roster, or they're not going to be championship contenders? Isn't that part of the issue here with any sign and trade options?
Well, first of all, Kyle Lowry still got paid. He still got $30 million a year. Players
I'm
at that level
don't get low balls. I'm not saying he didn't get money. I just mean that,
He didn't get Chris Paul money.
He got less than he was initially looking for. But, of course, he got paid, and he won a championship, so he paid it off. But, yes, please go ahead.
And the other part of your question, yeah, of course, that's exactly the issue that the Lakers are facing. Those are not sexy names, and Chris Paul is a sexy name. It would have to be sort of, if you're doing that kind of trade, it would have to be someone whose salary is maybe a little distressed, or the team doesn't really get excited about paying that guy's salary. It's not going to be easy. There are, though, a ton of point guards on the free agency market this summer, some of whom will re-sign with their own teams, some won't. So it is possible something kind of shakes out and there is a game of musical chairs that somebody or two somebodies lose, and the Lakers all of a sudden are in a stronger position. We'll see.
Yeah. By the way, when anybody takes even like a little tiny bit less than they, as an NBA player, might want to get, for the rest of us mere mortals, as Zach points out, it's still a lot of money. Anyway, coming up, we will talk a little bit more about Team USA. Three key members are making the trip to Tokyo this weekend. How does Team USA work them into the roster after these guys just played a hard-fought finals? We will discuss. Welcome back. Let's talk Olympics. Right after the end of the NBA Finals, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Devin Booker will now head out to Tokyo on Friday to join Team USA. That's tomorrow, Robert. That's why they had to have the championship parade today. How should USA work them in? How should Pop do this?
You know, it's going to be difficult. It's going to boil down to great coaching by Pop. We know he's a championship caliber coach, but you got three NBA Finals guys coming in. What are you going to do with this roster? Are they going to learn this system? What are you going to do? For me, if I'm Pop, I'm saying, guys, I'm going to sit you for a while. I'm going to ease you in, because I know you still got all the drama from the NBA Finals. Because if you think about it, you got Dame Lillard, you got Tatum, you already got some dogs on this team. Mm-hmm. So just ease them in, because this is going to be an important role on how Pop schedules this whole roster and his movement thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm James Jones or John Horst, the GMs of the Suns and Bucks, I'm calling Pop and say, hey, Pop, please, you know, they just had the finals. Can you take it a little bit easy? But look, Robert's right. This is the problem TBUSA has. These guys are just not familiar playing with each other, and they're going to have to learn a lot of stuff on the fly. Luckily, though, Chris Middleton and Devin Booker are ace shooters. That's an easy skill. Just shoot, shoot, shoot. And Drew Holiday, just find somebody to defend, hound them all over the floor.
I mean, doesn't it help a little bit that all these guys are good complementary players, right? They all dexterous. They do a lot of different things, Robert.
Especially with Drew. You know, Drew can defend anybody. He's the type of guy, he can read the situation, get people involved. Booker's the one, just give him the ball and get out of the way and let him shoot.
We will have to see. The opening ceremonies are soon. We're excited for that. Thanks for watching The Jump today. We'll see you right back here tomorrow. And remember, draft is next week.